Thanks, Manny. Thank you too. Last week we had a lunch. It was a Thanksgiving lunch, and part of that, people said thank you to me. So I just want to thank you for all the good wishes that we've received this week in finishing up. So it's been a wonderful time with you as a church. Looking forward to the future, and especially with Pete and Alicia coming, I think things are really grounded well for the future. I went into the shops this week, and I noticed something had changed. You notice what happens around the start of December in the shops? The music's different. They start put out like these sort of decorations. It's December, and that means it's the beginning of the silly season. You call it the silly season? It's time for the Christmas music to begin. Now, I came across a Christmas song I'd never heard before. So this is how it goes. So if we put the next slide up, this is what you'll see if you go down to the shops. Says this. This is the song. This is the depth of the song. Here we go. Who's got a beard that's long and white? Santa's got a beard that's long and white. Who comes round on a special night? Santa comes round on a special night. Special night, beard that's white. Must be Santa, must be Santa, must be Santa Claus. I'd never heard that one before, so I feel greatly edified that I've now got that one. It kind of summed up one type of Christmas song, right? And generally, most of the ones on the top of the list here, in this list, were that type of song. Not really about the traditional Christmas, more about the commercial thing, right? And lots of songs are about the fun stuff we have at Christmas. The song we sang today, O Holy Night, is an example of the other type of Christmas song. Its lyrics go like this: O Holy Night, the stars are brightly shining. It's the night of the dear Saviour's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope, a weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Fall on your knees, O hear the angel voices, O night divine, O night when Christ was born, O night divine, O night divine. That's a different song than about the guy with the white beard. There's more of the traditional Christmas story in there. There's a star that's leading people. There's wise men coming from afar away to worship this child that's been born. He's talked about as a king in a lowly manger. This new hope is introduced, and the result is that people will love one another. In his name, all oppression will cease. So this song is talking about something different than the man with the white beard. Chains he will break, and the slave is our brother. In his name, all oppression will cease. Christ, after all, is the Lord. That's a different sort of song. Now, there's a certain type of hope in the first type of song. The hope is on Christmas night, Santa will appear, there'll be lots of presents, lots of food, we'll have a good time, and that's kind of a nice hope. Catch up with our friends and family. Maybe we'll even get to kiss someone under the mistletoe, if we're lucky. That's not a bad hope. Especially as a kid, that's a hope we all look to, right? Bring on the presents and the food. There's nothing essentially wrong with that. It's a type of hope we have, and the songs talk about it. But the other type of song, the second type of song, points us towards a different sort of hope. It points us back to a story, to the Christmas story. It's an ancient story. I'm sure you've heard it before. Here's a scene. This is what it looks like. The essence of the story. Let's go to the next slide. Captured in the words of the song, O Holy Night. A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices. Something happens in this story that changes something in the world. Something different comes about. The whole world is going to get a glimpse of something new in that story. It's not a hope that's going to change the world overnight. Because after it, the wise men return to the east. The shepherds go back to the sheep. The angels disappear. The star turns away. But the child has arrived. This child has been referred to as the King, as the Saviour, as the Lord. And in Bethlehem, where this all takes place, another song tells us the hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. That's a big claim to make. The hopes and fears of all the years. Saviour, Lord, King, breaking of chains, new time in the world, oppression ceasing. These are massive claims. This is a big hope that's being introduced. through this baby. Next morning, there's a mother, there's a baby, maybe a somewhat confused father. And if you think about it, if there were shepherds, maybe some other animals, there's a mess to clean up the next day. Things have got to get on. They've got to fix things. I hope Joseph rolled up his sleeve the next day. So I want to talk about this hope that was introduced at Christmas. But I want to look at a promise from the Old Testament. There are all sorts of Old Testament verses we normally read at Christmas time. I want to read one that we don't normally read. It's not a standard Christmas text, but I think it should be. And in fact, I think this is an overlooked verse in the Old Testament that points towards what is the hope? What hope comes when Jesus is born? So here's the text. It's Isaiah chapter 25. Let's go to the next one. It says this, verse 6. On this mountain, the Lord Almighty will prepare a feast of rich food for all peoples, a banquet of aged wine, the best of meats, and the finest of wines. So it says on this mountain. Which mountain? In the Old Testament, that's always Mount Zion. It's always about Jerusalem, the capital of Israel, the place where God said, I'm going to put my name there. The temple's going to be there. So when it says on this mountain, it says something's going to happen in Jerusalem that's going to bring hope to the world. And it's going to be for people all over the world, a rich feast of food for all peoples. This is something that's going to impact all the world, all nations. It's like a multicultural food festival. That's what God's preparing. Think of the biggest food event you've ever been to and scale it up massively. This is people from all over the world coming to eat this feast, something to look forward to. And it says that God is the host. God is preparing. The Lord Almighty will prepare this food. He's preparing. God is the preparer of a feast. He's getting it ready. Lots of people from all over the world are invited to come to this feast. It says that God, you know, we say that God owns the cattle on a thousand hills. Well, he's some of them are going to become the meat for this feast. He's got out the best wine. He's getting ready for a party, a massive party. Now, is that a strange image? Do we think of God as someone who throws a party? This is really saying that God's going to throw a massive party. We know that Jesus in his time was a party goer. He was criticized because he went to parties with people. Here we have the image of God as the one who throws this big party. God is planning a party. All nations are invited. It's in Jerusalem. I wonder what else is going to happen at this party. So the verse kind of changes direction now. So it says God's preparing this massive feast for all nations in Mount Zion. Let's see what happens next. Let's go to the next verse. On this mountain, he will destroy the shroud that enfolds all peoples, the sheet that covers all nations, he will swallow up death forever. Wow. So on Mount Zion, in Jerusalem, something is going to happen. That's where all this is going to take place. God is inviting everyone from all over the world to this feast. Not only is God the host, the one who's making the food, he's getting it all together. He's also a party goer. He's the one that's eating at the party. God is the one that's going to be eating. And the food, the shroud that covers all peoples, the sheet that covers all nations. It's a picture of the whole world being underneath and wrapped up by this blanket. Now, you can be wrapped in a blanket in a good way, right? You get a baby, you wrap it up. That's nice and warm. That's wrapped up in a good way, held, kept warm. Jesus is wrapped in swaddling clothes in the manger. That's the good wrap, comforting. But this is not like that. This is not like wrapping a baby. The whole world, all the world, all nations are wrapped in this shroud so tightly they can't move. They're stuck. You ever rolled down a hill and been stuck in a blanket? And you get stuck and you can't move? That's the picture here, that all nations are stuck inside this shroud, this blanket. They can't escape. They're stuck. And this shroud is death. Death wraps all nations and all people. They can't escape. The blanket of death. Every person that's ever been born was born wrapped in this blanket, destined to grow old and eventually die. That's the human situation. It's a hopeless situation. You can't get yourself out of this blanket, this shroud. There's no way. But God is preparing something. He's preparing a feast. And at the feast, he's not only the cook, he's not only the host and organizer, he's the one that's doing the eating. He's going to swallow up death forever. He's going to eat the shroud that enfolds all nations. And if death is swallowed up, if the shroud is removed, people are set free. The thing that binds them and kept them in this trappedness, they're now free. They're free to move and to live because God has swallowed up the shroud. He's taken it away. He's eaten it. This is an unusual party. I think this text is overlooked. I think it deserves to be right on the agenda of Christmas. It goes on. Let's read the next part. The sovereign Lord will wipe away the tears from all faces. He will remove his people's disgrace from all the earth. The Lord has spoken. So the result of death being swallowed up is all tears are wiped away. The removing of disgrace from his people, from all the earth, and as if to add a final degree of authority, the Lord has spoken. This is, God has said this, it will happen. This is really the ultimate text of hope. The text is talking about the defeat of death. God himself will deal with death. He'll do it in an unexpected way. He will eat it. He will swallow it. By taking death into himself, swallowing it, and as a result, people are set free from this blanket that held them. The fear and the frustration of mortality is going to be set aside because God is going to set people free. Now, some people get upset. You say, well, you know, you've got to take the Bible literally. But this is metaphorical language. So when the Bible uses metaphor, our job is not to take it literally, but to understand the metaphor it uses. So God, it's a surprising strategy, how to overcome death. Here's a party. I'm going to have this celebration. I'm going to organize a feast. And I'm going to eat this shroud that covers all peoples. The thing that held everyone prisoner, I'm going to consume it myself. That's reflected in a number of verses from the New Testament. So this is Hebrews chapter 2. Next verse, next slide. Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death, he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. This is the same issue, slightly different perspective. So the devil holds the power of death in this verse. He's in control of humanity because remember in the garden, we got separated from God, we turned away from God, we chose independence, and death came into the human race. Ever since then, by default, we are under the authority of death, under the authority of the devil. Adam and Eve didn't just disobey God, they obeyed the devil. So he became their master by default. Death came to us all because without the source of life, you don't have life. It only comes through God, through connection with the one who is the author of life. So God sees all this. He knows we're trapped. He loves us. He's not willing that human beings would be subject to death forever. He's not willing that we would remain under the authority of the devil. But it's not an easy thing to set people free. God had to come and share in our humanity. Now, this is breaking protocol. Ever since time began, God was God and human beings were human beings. It would be unthinkable for God, the holy God, the eternal God, to become flesh and blood, to actually take on human form. God is great. How could he become human? God is holy. How could he share in our flesh and blood? God is transcendent. How could he condescend to come to earth? God is the author of life. How could he ever submit himself to death? In order to swallow up death forever, Jesus had to become human. He had to enter a human life that he might die. He had to share flesh and blood like us and to die a death like ours. In dying as a human being, he entered death, and from within death, he destroyed death. He rose from death. He swallowed up death forever. He didn't stay dead. Here's another verse from the New Testament, Philippians chapter 2. Let's go to the next one. Jesus existed in the form of God, but he did not consider equality with God something to be clutched onto. Rather, he made himself nothing. By taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. This is a massive adjustment from the heights of heaven, the glories that he knew with the Father, to the humiliation, even to death on a cross. He who created everything became nothing. He who was the ruler became the servant. He who was God became a human being and then humbled himself to the most humiliating form of death, crucifixion. In order to swallow up death, Jesus swallowed pride, let go of all glory, let go of any reputation. He gave up everything because of love for us. I want to tell you a story. Let's go to the next one. There was a man, this story comes from the Northern Hemisphere, so it's you know, Christmas isn't like that here. We don't have snow, right? We have like 40 degrees. But this is, think about the other side of the world. So this story comes from the other side of the world. Like many stories and songs, you know, it's talking about a white Christmas and all that sort of stuff. So this story is based in the Northern Hemisphere. There was a guy, an elderly man, and his family, his daughter, her husband, and two children would come to stay with him every Christmas time. So they loved the time together. He got to see the grandkids. They lived on the other side of the country, so they, you know, spent a great time together as a family. Now, traditionally, on Christmas Day, they would attend church together. But the elderly man was having doubts about his faith. So when they spoke about going to church for Christmas, the elderly man announced he would not be going with them this year. "I just can't believe God would become a human being," he said. "I'm having doubts about these things. I'm increasingly coming to believe that such a thing would not be possible. The Christmas story no longer makes sense to me." So the family were a bit surprised that he'd come to this point, but they heard him out. They respected his wishes, allowed him to stay home while they went off to church on Christmas Day. After all, the incarnation is a mystery, right? We can't possibly understand all of it. So Christmas morning came. It was a cold day. It was snowing. His daughter and family headed off to church. Off they go. He'd missed the time with them, but he felt at least he wouldn't be a hypocrite and sort of listen to things he really couldn't believe. He doesn't want to pretend. He didn't want to pretend that he believed these things that he didn't believe anymore. So the message of Christmas wasn't going to make sense. He decided he'd stay home. Now, while the family was away, let's go to the next slide. The weather turned bad. Unexpected wind came along. The snowstorm came in. Visibility was reduced. And he was kind of a bit glad he hadn't gone, right? Hey, I can stay home and they're going to be cold on the way home. Happy to be warm at home with this advent of this weather. But not long after this, he was sitting in his chair. He began to hear noises. He began to hear a noise. Thud. 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 What could it be? What's going on? Why am I hearing these noises? What's outside? He knew the noises were outside. And so he thought, well, I'll go to the window and see what's happening. So let's go to the next one. He looked outside the window. And looking out, he saw that there was a flock of birds. And they'd been caught in the sudden snowstorm. They'd been grounded. They were trying to fly around. They were dazed. They were confused. They're flying into the windows, flying into the walls, into the side of the house. They looked like they were totally disturbed. So here's the birds. Let's go to the next one, or some of them. He looked out and he took pity on these birds. Let's go to the next slide. They were cold. They were obviously distressed in the snow. It seemed they were even looking to him for help. What could he do? Let's go to the next one. He wanted to help them. So he put on his coat. He ventured outside. Maybe he could do something for them. He had an idea. There was a garage, so he said, I'll open the door. I'll lure them into the garage. Maybe they'll be safer in there. Maybe they can wait out the storm. It's warmer in there. So he had an idea. He said, I'll get some bread. He laid a trail of breadcrumbs from near where the birds were to the garage, but they ignored him. They didn't follow it. They took no notice. And then he tried shooing them into the garage. So he went out and got behind them, and he started to try and shoo them into the garage. But as soon as he did that, they scattered. They wouldn't respond to him. He tried and tried to get them into the safety of the garage, but nothing worked. So he sat down, frustrated. And he realized, to them, he was a strange and terrifying creature, much bigger than they were. If only I could let them know that I want to do them well, that they could trust me. I'm not trying to hurt them. I'm trying to help them. How could I do that? But every move he made just made them scatter, made them frustrated even further. They would just not follow. They would just not respond. They were afraid. And then he had a thought. If only I could be a bird. Then I could go to them and I could speak their language. I could mingle among them without them being afraid. I could show them the way to safety. I can't do that as a human being. If only I could become one of them, so that they could see and hear and understand the way to safety. Just as he thought about that, he heard the church bell ringing. It was the end of the service. He reflected on the experience as his family came home. He realized what had happened, and he connected the dots and realized that this is essentially what Christmas is about. He waited for his family to come home to tell them of his new understanding. Let's go to the next slide. Back to the Christmas story. God could see that we were distressed, that we were harassed and helpless. We could not help ourselves. As the human race, we were stuck in darkness, destined for death. We had this blanket, this shroud over us, all of us. Like the man who saw the birds and wanted to help them, but realized, I cannot help them from within my house. I have to venture outside. I cannot help them as an all-powerful deity. They will run from me. I cannot even help them as a king or ruler. They've got many kings or rulers. I'll have to leave the glories of heaven behind. I'll have to become a human being. That will mean I'll have to become a baby. Then I'll be able to demonstrate the love of God. I'll be able to explain to them who God really is in their own language. I'll be able to join them in their struggles. I'll be able to enter into their pain. I'll even be able to enter into their judgment, into their condemnation, even into their death. And in entering into death, I will defeat death. It will be swallowed up forever. Let's read the text again, the next one from Isaiah 25. On this mountain, the Lord Almighty will prepare a feast of rich food for all peoples, a banquet of aged wine, the best of meats, and the finest of wines. On this mountain, he will destroy the shroud that enfolds all peoples, the sheet that covers all nations. He will swallow up death forever. The sovereign Lord will wipe away the tears from all faces. He will remove his people's disgrace from all the earth. The Lord has spoken. We celebrate hope at Christmas. The hope that one day all tears will be wiped away. The sorrow, the mourning, the crying, and the pain will be no more. because one day the old order of things will pass away. The coming of Jesus at Christmas is the first step towards that reality. In Him, God has come to us in human form. In Him, God speaks our language. He bears our sorrow. He takes our place. In His death, death is defeated. In rising again, death is swallowed up forever. That's the hope we find in Christmas. That's the hope we find in Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, I thank You that Jesus coming to us from heaven, from the glory, from the light and the power, crossing that divide to Bethlehem, to the manger, to becoming a refugee, to entering into our experience, and even then carrying upon Himself our condemnation and our shame. Lord, I thank You that the cords of death, this shroud of death that's over all peoples, Your plan, Lord, was to put an end to this, that You would take responsibility, You would take it into Yourself, You would swallow death forever. And Lord, thank You that in Jesus, as He goes to the cross, as He rises that third day on the Sunday morning, death is defeated. It is swallowed up forever, that all nations might be free, that every person might have hope in You, Lord, for eternity, for forgiveness, for reconciliation, for peace. Lord, thank You for Christmas. Thank You for the hope that You've given us. We look to You. I pray this Christmas, Lord, we might know this promise. No matter how far away we feel, no matter how trapped we feel in this shroud, Lord, we might know the sure hope that Jesus coming to this earth means that You have acted, that Him rising means that death is defeated, and that by faith and confidence in Him, we have a future. Thank You for Your goodness, Lord. Thank You for Your mercy. Thank You, Lord, You crossed that bridge. You spoke our language. You became one of us. Lord, let that hope be in our hearts and our lives, in our families, in our neighborhoods, and across the whole world this Christmas. In Jesus' name we pray.